I'm going to take tonight as our text Psalm 87. Psalm 87 and verse 6. Turn back there to the Old Testament reading, Psalm 87 and verse 6. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. There are, as we read in the Word of God, occasions that we find a sense has been taken of God's children. If you filled in your census paper this week, it's not the first one that has been filled in. I was reminded during the week by someone, have you filled in your census paper? And I said, but sure it's not due yet. And they said, it's due actually this weekend. It's due actually today. And if you haven't filled it in, it is due today. But as I said this morning, if you read the fine print, there's a bit of wriggle room on it and you can fill it in thereafter. I was greatly struck when I thought of that, of how God continually took a census of his people. When Jacob and his family went down into Egypt, they were counted. And they were numbered to the 70 in number. It was a very small, insignificant group of people that went down into Egypt, but they were the number that comprised the visible body of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. There was another census when they came up out of Egypt, nearly 400 years later, and their numbers had multiplied many, many times over. And now we read that they had 600,000 footmen prepared and ready for battle. So the 70 had become a great army. 600,000 footmen. So we can think not only of the footmen, we can think of the old men, the old women, the young, the boys and girls, and all the other ones in between. So there had been a great multitude. When Moses was called to lead the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, sometimes liberal theologians try to maybe convey it was only just a small tribal group of people. There were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. Some biblical commentators think maybe 1.5 to 2 million people. What a throng, what a host Moses had in leading them from Egypt to Canaan. And just before they entered into the promised land, at the end of those 40 years journeying in the wilderness, there was another census taken. So when they were brought out, there was a census taken. When they were taken in, there was a census taken, this time under the leadership of Joshua. So census taking, it's not a new thing. It's written in the Bible, there's many examples of it. There was another failed attempt to number the people when King David commanded Joab, the captain of the host, to go through all of the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and to number them. But God smote him. And I'll tell you why God smote him. Because David had forgotten the tribute. And only the sovereign could give such a command to number all of the people. This was the sovereign rule of Almighty God that we were dealing with here. Remember in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, how there was another census in the days of Caesar Augustus. And Mary and Joseph had to take the journey to Bethlehem, where they had to be included in that Roman census that was there at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians and they get their hackles up about filling in a census form. But I often think of that first family that Jesus was put into, the family of Joseph and Mary. And they made that long journey and God so ordered it that they had to make that long journey that they were included in the part that they were written up at Bethlehem. The book of Revelation tells us about the day when God shall number the final census. We've been reading of that in chapter 20. The books are going to be opened. And the dead are going to be judged. What a day that's going to be. There will be nothing on that record that will not be looked into. It will all be minutely examined and scrutinized. This verse that we've taken for our text links up all of these thoughts in Psalm 87 and verse 6. And it points, of course, to the last and final greatest census, when the sinful age will come to a close, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds from heaven with great power and great glory, and he sends forth his angels into the most remote regions, and they will gather out the wheat and they will prepare the chaff for the burning. Now, no doubt by now, I would say the majority of you, you've that form filled in. The government statisticians will await the results eagerly. You know, they have special units up in Stormont and in Scotland and Wales and in London that will spend the next maybe 5 years examining all of the facts and figures that were included in the census, and that will give guidance and direction to government spending and planning over the next decade. But this is the final census we're looking at tonight. The significance of it is that all of mankind is included in it. All of mankind. Past, present, future. They're all included in this final writing up of the nations and of the elect of God. Let's try to answer the question first of all this evening. What will that writing include? The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. We sometimes smile at the questions that they asked on the government census form. How much Irish do you know? And then they asked, how much Ulster Scots do you know? I don't know how much Ulster Scots you know more than what I know. I know the dialect is greatly used up and round here, but as a language, how much do you really know? And then there are other similar peculiar questions on it about your religious affiliation, about your so-called sexual orientation, as if biology is left in flux, even about your nationality. There are many questions put in there. All the personal details are there. They're all been recorded. But I want you to notice what was recorded here. That this man was born there. That this man was born there. One by one, all of the sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race, one by one, they are going to give an account. And when we die, we're going to give an account. And we will give an account on our own. No one else will give the account with us. We will give the account on our own. And we have to stand before God on our own. And the matters that will be written up, they're all very important matters. Vital details. The one question that is so important, and if you, I want you to know it is important. What is your nationality? Because I know ones who have problems now with that nationality question. It always was a great pleasure to me to say I was born in Northern Ireland. I was born, brought into this world in the old hospital in Banbridge. They just have a memorial stone on it today, and there's a new that's where the new clinic is behind it in Banbridge. Many years ago. I take great pride in the fact that I was born in Banbridge. Many people have asked me that from all over the world. Where were you born? I said, did you ever hear tell of Banbridge Town in the County Down? That's where I was born. On that great final census day, the vital question again will surround the place of your birth. Not so much the place of your national birth, where you were born nationally, because all men and women are sinners before Almighty God. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're born in Ireland, North or South, England, Scotland, Wales, any part of Europe, America, Asia, Africa, Australia, wherever you were born where God found all of Adam's race, where all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the question that is referred to here, that this man was born there, is a question that pertains to the new birth. Have you been born again? That's the vital question. And those who cannot answer this question, that they can look back to a place where they were born again of the Spirit of God, we can answer the question for you tonight. Then your name is not written in that Lamb's Book of Life. For those who are on the registry of the Lamb's Book of Life are those that have been born by the Spirit of God. And the greatest fact that you can ever record anywhere along the journey of life is this, that you have been born again by God's Holy Spirit. Now, can you tell me where you were born again? Where God took a dealing with your soul. I could take you again to the very spot, the very place where I give my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't too far from the place where I was born physically. The very place where a young man, 16 years of age, some 44 years ago, that I was born of the Spirit of God. That's the key in all of this. Can you answer the question tonight? Where were you born again? Was it in your own home? Was it in a meeting? Was it maybe out on your own? Maybe it was through the witness of a friend. Maybe it's when you were far away from a home and far away from loved ones. God in grace laid hold upon you, brought you to Himself, brought you into the ark of shelter and safety and salvation, and you were born of the Spirit of God. That's the greatest fact to write down on this final census form. In the final census form, you know, it will not matter whether you were British or Irish. A lot of Ulster loyalists might dispute that fact, but that's the reality of it. It would be better being an Irish nationalist and been born again of the Spirit of God than an Ulster loyalist and never be born again of the Spirit of God. That this man was born here. The census that God will take will include all, not just the vital details, but all the final details. It'll be 10 years before another census is taken. How many of us will be here in 10 years? Well, none of us could give the guarantee that we'll even be here in 10 hours, even 10 minutes. And in 10 years, if God spares us to come back to one along, and if the Lord tarries, there will be momentous changes amongst us all. We change. And the information will need to be updated. But there's no update in that final census. It lasts for all eternity. All eternity. As long as God shall live, it lasts for all of God's eternity. There'll be no adding on to it. There'll be no subtracting from it. As you die, that's how God will meet you. As you die, that's how you'll spend eternity. And if God meets you in your sin, well then, God will hold you accountable and responsible for your sin. If God meets you without Christ, then you will be held accountable and responsible for dying and living without Christ. As you die, that's how you'll spend eternity. And how close are you to death? Just a heartbeat away from it. Just a heartbeat away from that final realization. The judgment will be too late to have the transaction changed. Once you press that send button now, that's it, finished. You can't go back and go over it again. And once, men and women, you take that final breath, there'll be no redoing, there'll be no reliving. There'll be no trying to say, oh, I wish I had done something differently. What will be written up? Secondly, could I suggest some names of those who will not be written there? We love to sing those lovely old hymns, don't we? Is your name written there in those pages bright and fair? Is your name written there in the Book of Life? Well, I can tell you some of the names that will not be there. The hypocrite will not be there. You know, you can whitewash a sepulchre, as Jesus said about the Pharisees in the New Testament times. You can whitewash it. You can paint it up. You can make it look pretty on the outside. But on the inside, it's still full of death and dead men's bones. That's the reality of it all. It's possible to deceive the church. It's possible to deceive the minister and the session and all that goes with it. But you can't deceive God. It's an impossibility. Amongst the saddest on those days whose names will not be there will be those who were mere hearers of the word of God. The hearers and not the doers. And sadly, there are many evangelical churches tonight, and they will have just hearers in under the sound of the word of God. They've never done anything with what they've heard. And I want to ask you tonight, have you done anything with what you've heard? You've heard the gospel from knee high, but have you done anything with it? Have you repented of your sin? Have you fled to Christ for refuge and cleansing and pardon and forgiveness? Have you done anything with what you've heard? Sometimes we despair when we see people act so irresponsibly, even in socially in the community. Don't drop litter. Clean up after your dog. It's as if nobody reads today. It's as if a lot of people anyway feel as if they're above the law today. And it's the same, I suppose, with a lot of these regulations and restrictions concerning coronavirus. There's a lot of people believe they're beyond them and bigger than them. But you've been doing that for years. Some of you have been doing that for years. Because you've just been listening to the gospel, but you've done nothing with it. And if you die just as a listener without having your life transformed by the message, your name will not be written there. Just a mere hearer of the word of God. The gospel, the Bible tells me, it's either a savour of life unto life or a savour of death unto death. You cannot listen to the gospel without it impacting you. It's either preparing you for judgment. It's either preparing you for judgment. That's a solemn thought, that there's people sit in under the sound of the gospel and on a long Free Presbyterian church, and to this point in time, all it's been doing has been preparing them for judgment. Or else it has prepared you for heaven. Another group whose names are not written there are those who have good intentions. Many of those running on alone. There are many people of good intentions. You'll come along to the meeting. Yes, I'll be there. But they've never put their foot through the door. There are many people and they've good intentions. Yes, I'll trust the Lord. I'll do it before I'm 20. I'll do it before I'm 30. I'll do it before I'm 60. I'll do it before I die. And death finds them unprepared. The old adage is ever true that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. God has given you and I time. What's God's time? If you want to know what's God's time, it's now. For now is the appointed time. Now's the day of salvation. When does God want you to trust his Son for salvation? Here and now in this meeting. Where you're sitting in your pew, God wants you to trust Christ for salvation. Don't say, I've good intentions, I'll do it by and by. By and by will never come. I urge you to trust the Saviour tonight. The names of those who have walked the clean side of the broad road have no entry in the book of life. There are many like that. And they have been under the constraints of common grace. And they're self-righteous people. They're respectable people. They're people of integrity. They're clean living. They would never find themselves in company that you or I would be ashamed to be found in. And yet they're not ready. They've got the invitation to the marriage, but they're not ready. Why? Because they've got no light in their soul. They've got no oil in their lamp. Is that you? such ye to Satan. We can say of those whose names have been written up, they're the ones that are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're the ones that are in the book of life, drawn from all parts, the great invisible body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has ever seen them in their totality other than God and His great divine omniscient decree. But there's another group, and their names are not written there, and we've just skirted around some of them. And on that day you might well cry, Lord, open to us. Open to us. Open to me. But He'll say, I don't know you. You had an opportunity to know me, but now it's too late. It's too late for me to know you. Thirdly, could we look just momentarily at those whose names will be written there? On your census form and my census form, we were asked to fill in all the names of those that were in the household. I didn't have to think about 23 Money Dyer Road or 24 Money Dyer Road. I only had to think of all who were in 23A Money Dyer Road, where the man says. We didn't write our neighbours in there. We didn't write our cousins in there. We just wrote down the name of the household. And the names that are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life are those that are of the household of faith, those that are all of the family of God. They're all written down in there. Those who, by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, know the saving grace of God. Those who have fled to Christ for refuge and have trusted in Him. Amongst that great number on that final day, can you think of the diversity of people? We thought about that just a few weeks ago here at our communion service. Those that are gathered from the north, the south, the east, the west, the four corners of the world. What a diversity of people there will be there. They will be there from all the continents. They will be there from all the tribes and kindreds, the ethnic groups of Adam's fallen race, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong. They're going to be numbered amongst the multitude. Some that we felt would never get there, they're going to be there. And there's some who are going to be so close to the throne, and us, we'll just be glad to get in through the gate. Are we going to see them there? Or they're going to be there. There'll be ones like Mephibosheth, lame on his feet. You ever thought how you could get to heaven lame on your feet? Well, there's many Christians, and it's as if they go to heaven on crutches. They just, as it were, hobble along to glory, but they get there because it's grace that brings them there. They're going to get there. I think of Doubting Thomas, he's going to get there. I think of rash, hasty, impetuous Peter, he's going to get there. I think of Martha, so busy and preoccupied, cumbered about with much serving, she's going to get there. I think of Mary, who sat at the Saviour's feet. I think of that dear servant of God who washed the feet of the Saviour with her tears. It's going to get there. What a diversity of people. Martin Luther was once asked, whom did he expect to meet in heaven? And his reply, of course, is very well known, that lives on. He said he was going to be surprised by those that he would meet there who he thought would never be there. And maybe you've made a judgment on someone and you've thought they'll never be there. But we're going to meet them there. And then Luther said he'd be surprised by those who would not be there, whom he expected to be there. And then he said the greatest surprise of all would be that he, Martin Luther, would be there. What a glorious day. We can take that verse of the hymn and make it our prayer. Do thou, Lord, midst pleasure and woe, for heaven our spirits prepare. May God prepare the heart of some individual for heaven and home, even in this meeting tonight. Even as you listen in, may God prepare your heart for heaven and home, that final great day. It's going to be written up. Could we conclude by considering, why has there to be a census taken at all? Have you ever thought about that? Why had God to write up the books? Well, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. It's not that the books are telling him something that he doesn't know. It's not to supply him with information that is not already known to him. Because the Bible teaches that all the elect were already known to him before the very foundation of the world. So how do you get around that one? Well, the Lord counts up his people. The Bible teaches us in various places to show how much he values them. If you value something, you'll make an inventory of it. If you have insurance items in your home that are over a certain price, you'll have to make an inventory of them. And you'll have to give them to the insurance company, whoever you're with. And there will have to be an inventory made. And God writes up his people because they're all precious to him. And he wants them to know that they're all precious to him. Have you ever thought of those lovely verses in the book of Malachi? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord often spake one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." There's a book written for all of those that even thought upon his name. What a lovely thought. And God says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." How precious are the saints of God to the Lord. They're like his jewels. With that lovely children's hymn, when he cometh to make up his jewels, you and I are his jewels. The last census will be taken to show Satan his final defeat. Not one of those elect for whom the Lord Jesus was sent to suffer and bleed and die, not one of them are going to be lost. And it's all going to be written down. They're all there. They're all going to be included. They're all written there. Why? Because Christ has to be seen to be victorious. Not only to be victorious, but in front of Satan and his fallen angels, those that are doomed and damned to a lost eternity, in front of all of the great assize of mankind on that final judgment day, the Lamb will be seen to be victorious. That's why we sang, well, we listened anyway, some maybe sang along with it, Thomas Kelly's hymn, "Look ye saints, the sight is glorious, see the Lamb." That's the Lamb on that last great day coming victorious to the foe. How solemn is the closing thought that the last census will forever and eternally vindicate the justice of God. God is a God of justice. God does not act arbitrarily. God acts according to his law. That is a sure principle of Scripture. And that's why I wanted to read with you. And we're not going to go down all the verses, of course, in Revelation chapter 20. We read here about the books being opened. The books were opened and they were judged out of those things which were written in the books. God has a statute book. And what is God's statute book based on? His law, his moral law, the Ten Commandments. And on that great final judgment day, mankind is going to be judged by God's supreme law, the commandments of God. The books are going to be opened. Nothing, the Bible tells us, that defileth will ever enter in. God's justice will be forever vindicated. Salvation is all of grace. All of it. Salvation is of the Lord, but damnation is all of sin. And at that great judgment day, the books will be opened, and those that have broken the law of God, every breach of God's law, those Ten Commandments, they're all going to be recounted. They're all going to be brought to the judgment bar, and they're going to be appropriately dealt with. God's justice on that day will be forever vindicated. And it says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life." was cast into the lake of fire. You know, we can read that verse, but the significance of it ought to break our hearts. Those whose names are not written up, those whose souls are not counted in, they're just cast aside into the lake of fire. Modern Christianity has airbrushed hell out of the Bible, but it's very much in it. And I urge you tonight with all my heart, to flee from it. Cast out. Cast into the lake of fire. What a contrast with the words of Jesus, where he said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to him tonight. Come to him now. Make sure your name is written there in those pages, bright and fair, written down in the book of life. Many of us will not see the next census. That's a fact. There are ones that sat in these pews 10 years ago. They're in eternity today. And it will be the same in 10 years' time, if the Lord tarries. But every one of us is going to be there on that final census day. We're not going to miss it. May God prepare your heart tonight for it. May your name be written there.